In Matas of Zayin Amud Aleph, did I take the Gemara? I forgot to bring my Gemara, so I just took whatever Gemara was here. I left my Gemara home. We won't need it for that long, though. The Gemara tells us that Ilah of Vituvia Krevi Da Arvahava. The top of Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara tells us about these two fellows, Ilah of Vituvia, who are Krovim to the co-signer. So Savra Papa Lemer Gabi Lova Malva Rechikin Inu. Rav Papa thought, okay, so they're krovim to the co-signer on a loan, but they're not krovim to the lender or to the borrower. So if they're not related to either the lender or the borrower, so it's fine. They could be eidim on the loan. What would be the problem? Amalei Rafuna Breda Vishola Rav Papa Ilas Leilulova Lav Basar Arva Azil Malva. Says, well, if the lova doesn't have any money, if the borrower doesn't have any money when it comes time to collect, who's the lender going to go to? He's going to go to the cosigner. So therefore, if you're a karov to the cosigner, it's the same thing as being a karov to the lender, to the borrower rather, because you're a karov to the person who's going to end up having to pay the money if the real borrower doesn't have any money. So because of that concern, he said we cannot allow them to be edim over here. Good, so that's what our Gemara says, that not only is a karov apostle to the parties of the case, to the actual lova and malva, going to be a problem, going to be pasul edus, even a karov to the arev, even a karov to the cosigner is pasul edus. Now, why is what is the status of the arev over here? What do you call him? He's not a baldin. Would you call him baldin? Baldin is the malva and the lova, the borrower and the lender, right? The lender and the borrower. They're the balei din. So what exactly is the Arev? What's his status over here? What would you call the Arev? Why can't the Arev himself testify about this? Testify about a law? What would be the issue? So intuitively you would say he can't, right? If you're a cosigner, you can't. Why not? He hasn't been in the case. What do we call that in Hebrew? He's no Gea B'davar. Right? He's no Gea B'davar. It sounds like he's no Gea B'davar. So what's our Gemara saying? That when you have an Arev is possible because he's no Gea. His krovim are possible because they're a psul karov. But a karov to who? Not a karov to the baledin, a karov to a nogeya. So it's quite a chiddush, the Gemara seems to be saying, that not only is a karov possible, not only is a nogeya possible, but someone who's a karov to a nogeya is possible. Yeah?
You also can obviously just define him as a baldav, meaning he also... He's almost like the default.
Meaning that the Arif's Nagia is such a strong Nagia that he's not just a Nogeya, he's an actual Baldavar, meaning that a normal loan has two parties. There's the lender, there's the borrower. Here, there are three parties. Because there are two borrowers, essentially. There's one that got the benefit of using the money and the one that might have to pay it back. So it's as if he's one of the Balei Din. So it's not just that a Karov of a Nogeya is possible. Nah, a Karov of a Nogeya is kosher. But a Karov of an Arif is different. An Arif is not just a Nogeya. He's more than that. He's a baldin. You want to tie in it, right? Take a look at Tosos in the top Tosos. Ilese lelove lav basar arva azil says Tosos mikandi yeshli zayir beede mamon shaloyu hu krovim lo lelove v'lo la'arev. That we see from here that people who want to be edim on monetary cases cannot be krovim to the lova, nor can they be krovim to the Malva or the Arev. The Marasaurus Shash just says, Vlola Malva, Vlola. Can't be a Karov to anybody. But again, it could just be, especially the way Tos formulates it, Lola Lova, Vlola Malva, Vlola Arev. What's he listing? He's listing all of the Balei Din. Not everyone who's just Nogeya. So it could, from this little Tosus over here, it could just sound like that there's no din of being a Karov to Nogeya. There's a din of being a Karov to a Baldin. And the Arev is also has a din of a baldin. The Arev is also considered a baldin. Taisus and Baba Kama of Chesem Beis discusses the following case. Taisus talks about Reuven sells a field to Shimon be'achrayus. What does it mean he sells be'achrayus? If the field ever gets taken away from Shimon, Reuven's on the hook to reimburse Shimon for the loss of the field, right? Eidim that are krovim to Reuven. Are possible to be made on Shimon's behalf if Shimon has a dispute with Levi over this field. So again, what happened? Reuven sells a field to Shimon, be'achrayus. So if this field ever gets taken away from Shimon, if Shimon ever loses this field, Reuven is going to have to reimburse. He's going to have to pay it back. He's going to have to figure out a way to make it good with Shimon. Shimon and Levi get into a dispute about the field. Krovei Reuven, relatives of Reuven, are not allowed to testify on Shimon's behalf. Why not? What's Reuven in the case between Shimon and Levi? Is he a Baldavar in the case between Shimon and Levi? He has nothing to do with the dispute between Shimon and Levi. Why is he possible? Why would Reuven himself not be able to be made in the machlokas between Shimon and Levi, in the dispute between Shimon and Levi about the field? Why would he not be able to be made? Because he cares very much that who wins over here? That Shimon wins. Why? Because if Shimon loses, he's going to have to pay. That's what we call a nogeya. Says Tosfos, Reuven's a nogeya. If Reuven's a nogeya, then the krovim of Reuven are not allowed to be made for Shimon. Because a karov l'nogeya is puzzle. Where do we get the idea that a krove nogeya are puzzle? Makos tav zayin amar aleph, Tosfo says. Now you see over here, the krovim of the arev are puzzle. So krovim of a nogeya are puzzle. Now, even though the krovim are not krovim to balei din, but there's kurva between them and the person who's nogeya to it, that's enough to make them puzzle. The Balei Atosos write this chiddush all over Shas. It says in Baba Kama, in Baba Metzia Yudalad Amar Aleph, in Ksubas Sadi Beis Amin Beis, all over Shas. The Balei Atosos say such a chiddush that krovim to a nogeya are possible. Considering that the Balei Atosos write this everywhere, it is somewhat curious that one of the Gedolei HaAchronim seems to pretend that this idea doesn't exist. The Machne Ephraim in Simen Aleph discusses the issue of Krove Nogea, and he says, discusses the case as follows. Let's say you could be made to give $100 to Aniyei HaIr when you have Krovin that live in the city, and their pasul midin Nogea. Meaning somehow it's nogeya to people in that city. You're going to be made that certain funding, government funding, should be allocated toward this town, let's say. And you have relatives in that town, so the government funding that's going to be allocated toward that town affects the whole town. Right? So you have relatives there. So you're a karov to people who are nogeya bedava. And the Machne Ephraim says that's okay. You're allowed to be meyid in that situation. What about Makos Tav Zayin? Where we say a karov to the arev is pasul. Why? Presumably because he's a karov l'nogeya. Says the Machne Ephraim, there's a difference between being a karov to an arev where you're not allowed to be meyid for the lova, because over there the arev has an actual shibud. He's actually involved. He would actually have to pay money if it gets lost from Shimon. He has an actual shibud. And therefore, since your karov is an actual shibud, you're not allowed to testify in that case. Masha ein kein, where you're only a karov to the nogeya, you're not karov to anyone who's an actual shibud, then you're kashal le'edus. You're only karov to people who live in a town, then you're kashal le'edus. Because since the puzzle, the psul karov is exeris hakasuv, it only applies when you're being made for your karov. But when you're being made for someone else, even if it's nogeya to your karov, it's not going to be a psul. Essentially, what the Machne Ephraim says is, I look at Makos Dav Zayin, and I said exactly what Danny said before. The arev is not a nogeya. He is a baldin. He has an actual shibud. He's one of the actual parties of the case. That's what our Gemara is saying. A karov to a baldin, vada is no good. That certainly can't testify a karov to a baldin. But that's all you got here, is you got a karov to a baldin. When you have a karov to nogeya, where it's another step removed, you're not a karov to the baldin, you're only a karov to the nogeya, says Machne Ephraim. Like when you testify that certain funding should go to a city, and you happen to have krovim that live in that city, so then you're only a karov to the nogeya. Then the halacha is that certainly, says Machne Ephraim, you're allowed to testify. The difficulty with the Machne Ephraim is not in Svara. Svara is very good. The difficulty is that Tosa says in Gan Shas, based on Malchus Daf Zayin that are carved to Nogeya is puzzle. The Machir Ephraim makes like it doesn't exist. That are carved to Nogeya is kosher. How does he leave out? How does he not mention the Tosos all over Shas? Now, l'chora, one could say that in the case in Tosos and Baba Kama, what was the case of Tosos and Baba Kama? Reuven sold the field to Shimon Ba'achrayus. Reuven's relatives, Tosos said, are not allowed to be made for Shimon in his dispute with Levi on that field. Maybe, in that case in Baba Kama, it's more similar to the case in Makos than it is to the case of the funding going to the city. Meaning, maybe the case that Tosa says where the Krove Reuven cannot testify on behalf of Shimon, maybe that's more like a case of a Karav Lebaldin than it is like a Karav Lenogeya. Why? Because the reason the field, Shimon's field, is Meshubah to a Balchov is because of Reuven's Shibud in that field. Meaning, when Reuven sold the field to Shimon, Ba'achrayus, what's that saying when I tell you I'm selling it to you, Ba'achrayus? If it ever gets taken away from you, I'll pay you back. Why would I do that? Why would I pay it back if it ever gets taken away from you? Because why is it going to get taken away from you? What am I anticipating? If it gets taken away from you, what will be the reason that it gets taken away from you? Oh, something's wrong with my ownership. I owe money to somebody, and this field was my shibud. A shiba that I created. This field is meshuba to my balechov. So who's going to take it away from you? Guys I owe money to are going to take it away from you. So it's my shiba that causes this whole thing to happen. And therefore, it's much more similar to our Gemara, Vila Vituvya, Kreve Darva, where you're a karov to someone who's actually very involved, directly involved in the case. That's staminogeya, where they happen to be affected by it from the outside. This is someone very much on the inside of the case. So maybe the reason the Machne Ephraim ignores the Balei HaTosfos is that he would say the Balei HaTosfos are not saying anything different than he's saying. The Balei HaTosfos are saying, not every Karov to an Ogeya is possible. They're saying a very specific case. Reuven sold the field to Shimon Ba'achrayus, and because Reuven has their shibudim on that field, Reuven has to take responsibility for that field. So now Krovim to Reuven aren't just Krovim to someone who happens to be Nogeya. Krovim to Reuven are Krovim to someone who's really involved. Because any dispute that arises between Shimon and anyone else on that field is really Reuven's machlokas. That just comes out on Shimon because Shimon's the one holding onto the field right now. But it's really Reuven's business. It's coming out in that field. So it looks like Shimon's arguing with Levi, but Levi's real beef isn't with Shimon. Levi's real beef is with Reuven. So of course Krove Reuven can't testify in that case. That's a karov to a baldavar. That's not a karov to Nogeya. So maybe that's what the Machna Ephraim would say. The problem is, if you look at what Tosos actually says, the Lashonos of Tosos, it sounds like Tosos holds across the board a karav to nogeya is not a problem. I'm sorry, that a karav to nogeya is a problem. That a karav to nogeya is not allowed to testify. Not because there's a shibud, it's one shibud, it's Reuven's shibud. Because the lashon of Tosos is that the reason the krove Reuven are not allowed to testify for Shimon is kivan diyesh revach l'Reuven. Since there's going to be some benefit for Reuven. Now, if you were writing the Tosos like the way the Machna Ephraim understood, what would you say? You wouldn't say, because there's going to be some benefit for Reuven. What would you say? The reason Reuven's relatives can't testify is not just because Reuven can stand to benefit. Akivan deshibudo shal Reuven ala sadeh. Balchov de Reuven baligvos. Something like that. That it's Reuven's own business dealings that are actually affecting what's happening. Right? That's what it sounds like. It tells in Ksuvus, his lashon is, Kivan de sof sof yesh revach sheyamidu akarka biyada. Since at the end of the day, there is some benefit in keeping the karka in the hands of Shimon. some benefit in keeping the hands of the karka in the hands of Shimon, in keeping the karka in the hands of Shimon. That's Reuven's connection to the case. Sounds from Tosos that that's all you need. That he's a nogeya. You don't need him to actually be a baldover. So the Machmer Ephraim may have understood that the case of Tosos is similar to the case of our Gemara, and different than the case of the government funding going to the poor people of this city, where all the residents of the city are just an external nogeya. But it doesn't seem that that's what Tosos really holds. It seems that Tosos really holds that any karov lenogeya is possible. Any relative of any nogeya is possible. Also, it's difficult to say that the case in Baba Kama, in Tyson Baba Kama, where Reuven sold the field to Shimon Bar Achrayus, and now Shimon has a dispute with Levi on the field, that the Krove Reuven cannot testify. It's difficult to say that that's exactly the same thing as Narim. That's exactly the same thing as Makos Dav Zayin, where Krovim of an Arev aren't allowed to testify. Because when you deal with an Arev, what is the Arev's role in the loan? What? His protection, and he is likely going to be, or possibly going to be, the person who pays back the loan. So when I'm lending the money to the borrower, and there's an arev on it, in my mind, I have business with two different people over here. The one who may get the benefit from my money, I could care less who's going to get the benefit from my money. I insist on an arev because I need to know that one of two people can pay back. So it's ki'ilu, the borrower and the arev are shutfim. That they're borrowers in this, they're partners rather in this transaction. That they make an agreement between them. Okay, you get the benefit of the money, and one of us will pay back the money. They're shutfim in the shibud. They're both becoming mechuyev in that money simultaneously. When does the arev become chayev? When the money's borrowed. When does the borrower become chayev? When the money's borrowed. That same transaction is mechayev the both of them. It's a lot easier in that case to say, okay, that's a baldin. The arev is a baldin. He's becoming meshubad in the money. His shibud is created, the shibud on him is created at the actual time of the loan. So obviously you can't testify for one shutaf Litovas the other shutaf, one second, as opposed to in the case of Shimon, of Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is not involved in the shibud at all. Reuven is just nogeya. He's nogeya bedavar in the sense that his old shibudim are going to come to haunt him over here. But the dispute, it's all Shimon's land right now. Right? It's all Shimon's money right now. When's Reuven going to have to pay? After Shimon pays. Once Shimon loses the land, now Reuven has a deal with Shimon that Reuven has to pay towards Shimon. But it's not where it's one transaction that affects two people, like an arev and a borrower. It's one transaction, I lend money to borrower, and the guy who's going to pay me back is either borrower or arev. That's all one transaction. But one could argue, in the case of Reuven selling the field to Shimon, it's two separate deals. There's Shimon's struggle over whether he gets to keep the land, and then when Shimon loses the land, there's the negia of Reuven having to pay back Shimon as a separate deal. So since it's two separate transactions, you could argue that that's a lot more like a nogeya and a lot less like a baldavar. And maybe that's why Tosfos assumes that a karov l'nogeya is always possible. The question?
Even though at that moment, the Arev is like committing to paying him if the insurance broker falls on it. It's almost like it's the default on paying back the loan that causes him to defy the like retirement transaction, because if the guy pays back, then it's almost as if it didn't exist. Only the person's default on the loan at the beginning that causes it to be offered up.
So he's saying that's like a separate transaction. There's the default on the loan. That's one transaction. And then there's the Ariv coming in to save the day, a separate transaction. Okay. But you can see how this is a little more. Machna Ephraim, in proving his point, quotes from the Shach and Simon Lamed Zayin. There's a discussion over there between the Shach and the Rambah. Is a Karov of a Gizbar allowed to testify? The Gizbar is Nogea. Yeah, that's the Gizbar is like the person in charge of the Tzedakah accounts. The person in charge of the treasurer. So Simulam and Zayin is about Sulam Machmas Hana'ah. People are apostle because they stand to benefit from it. Here we go. Si'if Tes Hagizbarim Kolz man she'in lahem v'lo l'kroveim shum zuchus b'nichsei ha'hegdish v'lo b'peruseim. As long as the guy, let's say the guy who's the treasurer of the shul, let's say, right? Let's say he gets no rights in the nechassim of the shul, nor in the peros that those nechassim produce. So he could be made about it, says the Mechaber. Says the Ramah, v'kol shekein shekrovim k'sherim lahayin. And for sure the Krovim can testify about it. The Krovim of the Gizbar. Afal pisha Gizbar mechalik hamamon l'misha yirtze. Even though the Gizbar is the one, the guy in charge of the tzedakah account, is the one who gives out the money to whoever needs, whoever he wants to give it out to. It's his discretionary fund. L'man diyamar tova sana'a eino mamon. If you hold that Tova Sana is not considered mamon, it's not considered that he has a monetary interest in that money. What does it mean, Tova Sana? The fact that, let's say, I have a discretionary account in my shul. Small account to give tzedakah to the aniyim, the kam, whatever. So, when I write a check to the ani that comes from Eretz Yisrael, who, Rachman al-San, has a whole story of terrible things that happened and needs money for this, chola, that, whatever. Who does he say thank you to? Says thank you to me. Whose money is it? Certainly not mine. I can't take that money and go buy things with it. Not allowed to use that money for myself. We have all checks and balances of, you know, I report every single check that I write to a whole board of people. Right? It's not my money. But he says thank you to me. What's the value of that thank you? Is that called mama? Tova sana. A lot of times, people will come collecting. They'll leave me with a sefer. They'll give me, I don't know, different things. When you come to Israel, we'll give you a tour around where we distribute our food, a tour of our orphanage, whatever. And I get to experience all these things. Why? Because I'm the one that writes the check. But it's not my money. So is that called that I have some value here? So says the Rama, if you hold Tova Sana'a Eino Mamod, if you hold that there's no monetary value in Tova Sana'a, then the Krovim of the Gizbar are kosher to be made. Not only is the Gizbar himself, even the Gizbar himself probably, but the Krovim of the Gizbar are kosher to be made on that money. That's what the Rama writes. V'aval di shenosin achkach l'krov avaniyim mikam lakam in mevatum eidus mishum zeh me'ach shlo haya anon yikeres b'shas eidus. Not only that, those same krovim, if they one day are poor, you know what I could do? I could write a check from the shul's charity account and give it to them. Yeah, but at the time they weren't at the time, I never gave them anything, so they could have absolutely be made. Zuck the shach. The shach quotes from a Ritva. Aval yesh lebal din lachlok v'lomar. Mihidin egias edus ein kan, edus korva yesh kan. Lufi she yesh behegdush, lufi eduzu hana'a gedola. Says one could argue that even though the Gizbar has no monetary interest in any of this, quotes from a Ritva, but a Gizbar cares about his account. And because he's so connected to his account and he cares so much about his account, it is called that he's Nogaya. What kind of Nagia is it? It's not a Nagia's Mamon, but it's a Nagia, reputation, something. There is some sort of Nagia. So the Shach is Cholik on the Rambah himself, though. And the Shach says, the Rambah's Machshir, a Karav Shel Gizbar to be made, even though the Gizbar himself, Luchar is Nogaya, because Tovus Hana'a, Eino Mamon, the Rambah says the Gizbar is Eino Nogaya, the Shach says, even if Tovus Hana'a is not Mamon, the Gizbar is called the Nogaya Bedavar. And therefore the Karov is possible to be made. So again, Ramah says, the Gizbar is not a Nogaya, if Yol Tovus Hana'a in a Mamon. So the Gizbar is not a Nogaya, Mimela, the Krovim can be made, because the Gizbar is not a Nogaya. Comes along the Shach and says, I know the Gizbar doesn't stand to gain any money from this, but you can bet he's a Nogaya. Even if you say Tovus Hana'a doesn't have any monetary value, but he's definitely Nogaya. It definitely matters to him. How he runs the account matters. Who he gives to matters. How much money the account has matters to him. Being able to distribute that money, there's a certain amount of power involved. And that matters to him. And therefore, says the Shach, his Krovim are possible. What are they both assuming, though? They're both assuming that if the Gizbar is in Ogeya, then for sure the Krovim would be possible. Like Balei HaTosfos. Right? They're both working with the assumption that if he is Nogaya, then for sure the Krovim would be possible. The Machne Ephraim understands that the Shach passels a Karov Nogaya because he holds that a Karov is possible. Why would a Karov be possible to be made in general? Why is a Karov possible? So the Machne Ephraim says the Shach probably thinks that the Karov is possible because of a Chashash Meshaker. What does it mean, Chashash Meshaker? That a Karov is likely going to lie because he's a relative, so he wants to stand up for his relative. So that's why the Shach says, okay, if the Karov is going to lie, so, since there's a chashash meshaker, a karov puzzle mishum chashash meshaker, there's a chashash that a karov to nogea will lie. Even though he's not being made for his karov directly, but when you're being made in a way that's going to affect your karov, you might lie. And that's why the karov to the nogea can't testify. Just like I'm not allowed to testify for my brother to make money, I'm not allowed to testify that someone owes my brother $1,000. I'm not allowed to testify that someone owes someone else $1,000 where my brother stands to benefit. Where my brother's a nogea. If you're worried about chashash meshaker, you have that same chashash meshaker by a nogea, by a karov to nogea, as you do to a karov to the baldin. So the Shach and the Ramah make plenty of sense if you assume that the Psul of Korva is Mishum Chashash Meshaker. What if you assume Psul of Korva is not Mishum Chashash Meshaker? What else could a Psul of Korva be? Let me ask you this. Am I allowed to testify that my brother owes someone else $1,000? Is that? Yeah, am I allowed to testify L'chovas, my brother? Against him? What was your time?
it wouldn't work practically.
Yes.
I mean, like, you don't know the Edus until it comes. You can't say that retrospectively when you can't say. But if I come and say,
let's say I know Edus that my brother owes money to somebody. Am I accepted as an aid? If it were all the psul of a carver, were all the chashash mashaker, so we should accept him as an aid. Why would he lie against his brother? But the halach is we don't accept him as an aid. You're not allowed to be an aid for your brother at all, against him or for him. What does that tell you, says Machna Ephraim? That the psul of a carver is not mishum chashash mashaker. It's a psul carver, gzeres hakasav, that there's a psul carver. It's a gzeres hakasav, it's a psul carver. What is that gzeres hakasav, says Machna Ephraim? The gzeres hakasav is that if you're a karov to whom can't you testify? If you're a karov to a baldin, you're a karov to the malva, you're a karov to the lova. That's the gzeres hakasav, that a karov can't testify. If you're a karov to a baldin. But if you're a karov to someone who happens to be nogeya, there's no such gzeres hakasav. If it's Mishum Chashash Meshaker, the same way I would lie to benefit my brother directly, I would lie to benefit my brother indirectly. But if it's just a Gzeres HaKasav, that there's a Psul Karov, and it's not because anyone thinks I'm going to lie, I feel a Moshe Aaron can't testify. No one thinks I'm going to lie. It's just that there's something called a Psul Karov. So then, that Psul Karov is only when I'm a Karov to the Bali Din. But there's no gzeres hakasav that there's a psul karov when I'm karov to anyone else. The truth is, that's how the Machna Ephraim understood the Shach and the Ramah and the Bali HaTosos. That it's all Mishum Chashash Meshaker. But it could be that Tosos does not understand that it's Mishum Chashash Meshaker. Could be Tosos also would say, karov is possible with gzeres hakasav. And clearly, a karov is possible even to be mechayev his relative, even against his relative. And the reason a nogeya is possible, it's not the reason Tosfos says a karov l'nogeya, there are two ways to make a karov l'nogeya a problem. Either to make the fact that you're a karov to the nogeya, like you're a karov to the baldin, or to make the nogeya himself like the baldin. Understand? Meaning, when Tosfos says a karov to the nogeya is possible, the Shach and the Ramah say a karov to the nogeya is possible. So, what has the Machna Ephraim been assuming? You know why it's possible? Because the whole reason that it's possible in the first place, that a karov is possible at all, is because of chashash meshaker. So, whenever that chashash meshaker exists, the same psul is going to exist. And therefore, you're possible even if you're a karov to the nogeya. Maybe no. Maybe the reason that you're possible when you're a karov to the nogeya. A karov is only a gzeres hakasav, and you're right. The gzeres hakasav only applies to bali din. Nogeya is a bal din. Maybe that's what Tosfos holds. That nogeya has a din of a bal din. Why is it nogeya pasul edus? Major discussion in the Achronim. If I stand to gain or lose from this dispute, why am I pasul edus? Is it because, what? I'm not objective, chashash meshaker. Or is it that I've become one of the Bali Din? That halacha views it as if I'm one of the Bali Din. So if it's that I'm not objective, then my krovim could testify. Because I might lie, but my krovim, that's just a gzeres hakasav, the krovim can't testify, and I'm not one of the Bali Din, I'm just someone who might is not objective. But if you say being a nogeya makes me a baldavar, makes me a baldin, well then my krovim can't testify either, because gzeres hakasav, the krovim can't testify for Bali Din. It would turn out that there's a problem in the Shach, though. The Shach writes in the beginning of Siman Lamed Zayin that a nogeya is possible because of chashash meshaker. And therefore it should turn out that a karov to the nogeya should be allowed to testify. So what you have to say is, and yet the Shach says a karov to the nogeya is not allowed to testify. Yeah, so you have to say is that even though the nogeya is possible mishum chashash meshaker, the Shach must hold, like the Machna Ephraim originally understood, that the karov is also possible mishum chashash meshaker. So you have a twice removed chashash meshaker.
far removed is the Chara also.
Then Rav Asher Weiss and Minchas Asher points out that even the Machan Ephraim would be Moda, that an Ogeas Puzzle Mitoris Baldin, that meaning Machan Ephraim who says that an Ogeas Puzzle is a Baldin, not as a Chash Meshaker, that's only when he's actually being made. Because he has a Negia when he's being made, so it's Ki'ilu he's being made on himself. But when he's not being made, he definitely doesn't have a din of a Baldin Lagabe Acher. And therefore the Karav could be made. Meaning, right? What does the Machan Ephraim say? Why is a Karav Puzzle? Because he has din of a Baldin. It's not Chashash Meshaker, he counts like a Baldin. Well, if that's why a Karav is Puzzle, because he has a Nogea Puzzle, rather. Why is a Nogea Puzzle? Because he has din of a Baldin, right? The Arev is like a Baldin. The Nogea is like a Baldin. Well, then, according to that, the Karov should not be allowed to be made. So why is a Karov allowed to be made? Because even the Machan Ephraim says that a Nogea has a din of a Baldin, that's only when the Nogea is testifying that he has a din of a Baldin. When he's not testifying, he doesn't have a din of a Baldin. So if he's not testifying, his Krovim can't testify because he's no longer a Baldin. And the riot to this is, says Rav Asher Weiss, beautiful, he says, there's halacha, you're only allowed to be mekabaleitus bifnei the Baldin. You can only accept testimony in front of a Baldin. Right? When someone's testifying in court, do you need to make sure everyone who has a negia in it, everyone who's nogea at all, everyone who's affected by it is there? They can only be mekabaleitus in front of all the nogea bedavers? Nogim bedaver? There's no such halacha. Why? They all have a din of a Baldin, according to the Machan Ephraim. They're all treated like a Baldin. Why don't you have to be mekabaleitus in front of all anyone who has a negia? Because they don't really have a din of a Baldin. They only have a din of a Baldin when they're testifying. They don't have a din of a Baldin when they're not testifying. Now, at the end of the day, just to summarize, Rav Asher Weiss points out there are three different gedarim that we could have when we're describing a baldavar. Number one, to pasul him le'edus. There's a machlokas whether nogea has a din of a baldin or nogea is only chashash meshaker. Number two, in terms of pasuling his karov, not pasuling the baldavar himself, pasuling the karov to be made, only if he's considered a nogea, if nogea is considered like a baldin, then even if he doesn't come to Beis Din, there's a reason to pasul his karov. And then you have a din that we're not mekabaleidos in front of, we're only mekabaleidos in front of Bali Din. That's only with regard to the Bali Din themselves. That for sure we would not say the Nogeya has a din of a Bali Din in terms of being mekabaleidos in front of them. Okay, so a little bit of one of the more complicated sugyas we've done this year. A little bit back and forth. Tomorrow I want to do a little bit lighter, finish up the perek, meaning the Gemara at the end of the perek talks about how frequently Beis Din kills, how infrequently Beis Din kills, and how people would try to get every potential murderer off the hook. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll talk about that, what the purpose of Mises Beis Din is. Interesting shuv from Ramesha. Right, a little bit lighter tomorrow.